morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today I'm going to be reading out excerpts from quite a thin book by Benjamin Krenn called The Ageless Wisdom Teaching. And you can actually download it for free from the Share International website, share-international.org. So I'm hoping that what I read out today might pique your interest and you might consider downloading or even purchasing a copy. So the bit I'm going to start with is the subheading of esotericism. And the question is, it seems that what you are describing is not strictly in the department of religion. Am I right in assessing it as a kind of broader view of things? And Benjamin Krenn's reply, indeed, it is a synthesizing teaching. The ageless wisdom teaching, or esotericism as it is often called, is not a religion. It is not, strictly speaking, a philosophy. It is not an art or a science, but it is something of all of these. You might say that esotericism is the philosophy or the science of the evolutionary process as it pertains to the human and the subhuman kingdoms. But it is about the evolution of consciousness, not of the physical form. If you want to know about the evolution of the physical form, turn to Darwin. He has pretty well summed up the nature of evolution as regards the form of the animal and the human kingdoms. But in terms of the evolution of consciousness, you have to turn to the esoteric. Esoteric only so far, for that which is esoteric gradually becomes exoteric. Nothing which humanity can safely use is ever withheld, so it is up to us how much of this teaching is given at any time. The next question to Mr. Krenn. Let me clarify a couple of terms before we go on. What is the difference between esoteric and occult? Terms that are often used synonymously. They both mean hidden. That is, hidden for a given time, not for all time, but hidden because, at this point in the evolution of the race, it is largely unknown and unacceptable to all but a relatively small number of initiates and disciples of those who give the teachings. To humanity in general, it is unknown, therefore esoteric or occult. The word occult has been given by various religious groups a rather bad connotation. It is seen as something dark, evil, to do with nefarious practices, devil worship, and so on. This is a complete misunderstanding of the word occult. Occult simply means hidden, and specifically the hidden knowledge or science of the energies behind the evolutionary process. Esotericism might be seen more as the philosophy of the evolutionary process, and occultism as the science of the energies which bring that process about. And the next subheading is source of the teaching. What is the source of this information you are giving us? The Asia's wisdom teaching is as old as humanity itself. This is the teaching of a group of men who have gone beyond the strictly human stage and have entered the next kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. They are the masters of wisdom and the lords of compassion. They are men and women like us who have expanded their consciousness to include the spiritual levels. There are a large number of these enlightened men on our planet who have been living in the remote desert and mountain areas for countless thousands of years. From time to time, they release aspects of their teachings insofar as we can absorb and use them to enlighten us. In modern times, the major expression of this teaching was given through Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, one of the founders of the Theosophical Society between 1875 and 1890. Her book, The Secret Doctrine, is the preparatory phase of the teaching given for the new cosmic cycle which we are now entering. We call it the Age of Aquarius. A later phase was given through an English disciple, Alice A. Bailey, between 1919 and 1949, by a Tibetan master, Joao Kull, and this is seen as the intermediate phase of the teachings. Between 1924 and 1939, a further body of teachings, the Agni Yoga teachings, was given through another Russian disciple, Helena Rurik. These ageless wisdom teachings are the means by which humanity is kept informed of its essential divinity and of its journey of evolution towards perfection. Next question, how did Blavatsky and Bailey get their information? As far as Madame Blavatsky was concerned, she received it from a group of masters with whom she lived for some years in the Himalayas. The masters had gone through this evolutionary process in which we are still engaged and have learned how it works, what evolution is about. They are masters not in any authoritarian sense, but masters of themselves and the forces of nature. They have full consciousness and complete control on all planes of this planet. Next question. And I would assume that it is from this level of human accomplishment that the greatest teachers of all the ages have come. Indeed, every new cosmic cycle, and we are entering a new one now, the Age of Aquarius, brings into the world a teacher. People like Hercules and Hermes, Rama, Mithra, Vyasa, Zoroaster, Confucius, Krishna, Shankaracharya, the Buddha, the Christ, Muhammad, these are all masters who have come from the same spiritual center of the planet, called the spiritual or esoteric hierarchy, which is made up of the masters and their initiates and disciples of various degrees. It is also known as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of souls. So this is a state of being as opposed to a place. Yes, Christians are waiting for the kingdom of God to descend on the earth when we are good enough to receive it. Actually, it has always been here, behind the scenes, made up of those men and women who have fitted themselves through the expansion of their consciousness and therefore the demonstration of their divinity. Is this what the scripture relating to the kingdom of heaven in our midst is about? Christ, through Jesus, said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you. Don't look outside or up to heaven. It is within you." And indeed, it is as consciousness. If you have that consciousness, you are in the kingdom of God. Speaking of which, the next subheading is God. And the question is, what about God? Who is he? Where is he? How does he relate to the spiritual hierarchy and us? God in the esoteric meaning is the sum total of all the laws and all the energies governed by these laws in the manifested and unmanifested universe. So God is impersonal. Nevertheless, that transcendent God is manifest in every aspect of creation, including ourselves. We are not separate from that creation, from God. Every human being has the potential of the knowledge, the awareness of all in creation that we can think of as meaning God. The masters are God realized, which is a very specific state in that they have brought their consciousness in terms of the divine spark, the absolute, the self, into complete at-one-ment with themselves as men on the physical plane. The personality and the divine aspect are totally integrated. Next question, what about God who is not in the body? God is also the great cosmic being who ensouls this planet. For all its solidity, its cities and aeroplanes and television studios and the like, this planet is really the body of expression of a cosmic being who gave the planet its life and who has a plan of evolution for all the kingdoms in nature, including the human kingdom. What is really happening is that we, at our different levels, from the mineral kingdom up to the kingdom of God itself, are carrying out an evolutionary process which, in its summation, will make this planet a perfect expression of the thought form in the mind of the creating Logos. You mentioned God ensouling this planet. Is there another God or higher level of consciousness beyond that? Indeed, there is the God who ensouls the solar system. Our planetary Logos is only a part, a center in the body of the solar Logos, who in turn is a center in the body of the galactic Logos, and on, galaxy after galaxy. There is no end to God. It is transcendent and also immanent in every part of creation. Every aspect of God, including ourselves, has the potential one day to know all and be all of that and to work within the energies which create the universe. God is everything that exists and all space between that which exists, between you and me and around us, around everything. All of that is God. God manifests through its creation, which is made of energies at particular vibrational rates. The form depends on the particular frequency of the nucleus and the electrons of these forms. Modern science has been able to break down cellular structures and show that at the center of every atom is a nucleus with electrons around it vibrating at a specific rate, and that every atom in the universe is made in the same way. There is nothing but energy in all of the manifested universe. The difference between that totally scientific view and that which an esotericist would hold is that the esotericist goes further and says, indeed, all is energy, but energy follows thought, is acted upon by thought. Thought is the agency by which creation takes place. Next subheading is energies, and the next question, that is a very provocative statement. Can you give us a practical example? Mr. Krems reply. The Great Pyramid at Giza was created by thought. The blocks of stone were actually moved by thought. It is very simple when you understand how to do it. You create a formula, like E equals mc squared, the great formula of Einstein, which has transformed our whole concept of both energy and matter. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, the speed of light being 186,000 miles a second. That formula has transformed our physics, and so we see matter and energy as interchangeable. When you recognize this, you create a mantra. That formula, E equals mc squared, can be changed into a mantra. And when you enunciate that mantra in the correct way, you can move objects to wherever you want. You bring the energy of mind to bear on what is simply free etheric energy surrounding every block of stone and every human being, every fish and so on. All of that is a precipitation of etheric energy. The stones likewise can be made to have no weight because the weight is to do with the inert mass and gravity. But when you create the mantram out of the formula and enunciate it, then you can move the stone from here to there. And we shall do this in the very near future. What would you say is the major benefit in understanding that energy underlies all things? It gives us control over the universe, over matter. It makes it possible, by thought, to be anywhere in the world in seconds. It makes possible modes of communication which are instantaneous, like telepathy. It is the knowledge of energy that makes all of this possible. So these things are not just tricks? Not tricks, no. They are the natural ability of all people, only they have to be developed. And those who have developed these abilities are on the cutting edge of where all of us are destined to go. Precisely, telepathy is a natural faculty of human beings. Most people experience it at times. A mother and a child might have a very close telepathic rapport. That does not mean that they know word for word what the other is thinking, but if something is happening to a child, the mother will instantly know. She will feel that child is in danger and act accordingly. This is something we share with the animal kingdom. Animals have that same kind of emotional, instinctual, telepathic contact. When this is brought up to the mental level, you have direct mind-to-mind communication. A master communicates with his disciples by telepathy. He does not usually appear physically. He could be in the Himalayas or the Andes or the Rockies or wherever, with his disciple in New York or London or Geneva, and still be able to talk moment to moment. Next question. I know from having seen Kirlian photographs, of the energies around the physical body, that science has made some strides in being able to demonstrate or measure these energies. What about at the levels of emotion, mind, thought? Can this energy also be measured? It is something which will come, but at the moment, what we are really measuring is that level of energy which science as yet has not demonstrated, the etheric levels of physical energy. Our modern science recognizes only three levels, physical, liquid, and gaseous. But above gas, there are four further states of matter, which are, strictly speaking, material, each one finer than the one below. These etheric planes of matter are the next phase of the material world to be researched and finally demonstrated by modern science. Then the etheric planes will become a reality and more people will be born with the ability to see the etheric planes of matter. This is really to do with a certain vitality and with a double focus. You see the physical, you change the focus, and you see the etheric. Both are there. The physical is really a precipitation downward from the etheric. And I'm just going to quickly look for a brief quote to finish with since we are almost out of time. Here's a question under the heading of future changes. Tell me a little bit about what changes you see ahead of us and how they are going to be brought about. There will be a new technology called the technology of light. We will begin to use light directly from the sun. All forms of power used today will become obsolete. This new energy will supply every energetic need of humanity. And, of course, it cannot be cornered by any individuals or groups. It is everywhere, free to all, and is endless in its ramifications. It will also have medical applications in connection with a more advanced aspect of the genetic engineering in which humanity is already engaged. Whole organs will be created. Transport will become so apparently motionless, so silent, vibrationless, that fatigue will disappear. The time is coming when humanity, just by thought, will be able to place themselves anywhere in the world. So, there we go. I hope you enjoyed those quotes from the book, The Ageless Wisdom Teaching, which is, as I say, freely downloadable from the website share-international.org. Thank you for listening and wishing you all a lovely week.